I feel really grateful for being here, but I also feel very nervous because something kind of like, I don't know, when I think of sometimes when I think of church in Ireland, I automatically think, oh no, I've got to wear a dress, I've got to look a certain way. And I was actually gripped with fear yesterday, and I didn't realise it till this morning, because last night I ate loads of chocolate, and I've actually not been eating chocolate for about 18 months, and I broke it last night, and I know that's because I was so afraid of how I'm meant to look on the outside to man. But you know that God looks at the heart, he doesn't look at on the outside, And I just needed to get that off my chest. So I just want to open with a scripture, Ecclesiastes 3:11. And it says, he has made everything beautiful for its time and placed the eternity into the hearts of man. And when I think of that, I just think of like my life and the process. That it's actually taken a process. And when I think the eternity into the heart of man, it makes me think of when I was a child, right? Because I'm coming from a completely dysfunctional family. You know, my mother was an addict, alcoholic, and she was a prostitute, grandmother prostitute. My father was a client. So I'm totally dysfunctional. I was brought up in Yorkshire, mixed race, and in the 60s, this was the wrong colour to be, and stuff like that. But I actually went to this Roman Catholic school, and they used to sing this song, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. And when I look back into my life, that's when I see, you know, the peace of eternity that he placed in my heart, because I really... I can't remember the words as a child, but as a child, I connected to that piece of eternity, and I found so much peace, but I didn't understand it. You know, growing up as a child, you know, in that household, we kept secrets. And as an adult now, I understand that secrets keep you sick. Secrets kept me sick, and they grew in the dark. They grew within me, and they manifested on the outside, as you're going to hear my stories of what I became. You know, I became the very thing I swore down I'd never do. I became a prostitute. And you know, as a child, right, it's so extreme. I either wanted to be a nun, or a thief. How extreme is that? The two extremities, you know. And I became a thief because we used to rob the clients that used to come in the house and stuff like that. I got sexually abused at the age of 4. But the most crazy thing is, I didn't remember that until I got saved at the age of 40. And I know that somehow I was protected from remembering that. And when it came out, and I mentioned it to my sister remembers everything. And in a sense, that works good for me, because as I get my flashbacks now, I take it to my sister, and my sister says, yes, that happened to me too. So in a sense, we kind of like help each other. But as I said, my mum was an alcoholic addict, and I first had my first substance of alcohol with my mum. And I really believed I drank just to get close to my mum. But when I drank, I didn't sip it, I just downed it, you know. And that just shows me that I'm an addict, that whenever I take any mind-altering substance, I have to take it to the excess where I'm totally going to blackout, where I can't remember anything, you know. I can remember as a child swearing to myself, I'm not going to be like her, that I'm going to be a good mom, because I used to see kids get brought to school by their mums and dads, and I used to say to myself, I'm going to be like them when I get older. You know, I'm going to rewind the tape forward. I had my first child when I was 19, and by then I'd already started drinking alcohol, I was already smoking cannabis, already snorting cocaine and stuff like that, but I didn't see it as a problem. When I had my first baby, soon after that, I started injecting heroin. And what it was, right, it was like a normal thing in my family. My brother was a drug dealer, and my dad ran gambling houses down the West End. So it's kind of like a normal thing to be enclosed in. But all I know is when I had my first injection of heroin, right, it felt as if I was wrapped back up in my mother's womb, that warm feeling. And when I look back on it, this is what I've been looking for my whole life, to get back into the safety of my mother's womb. You know, because when I had heroin, it just felt warm and I felt safe. I started to pay people to look after my son. you know, dressing, clothing and stuff like that, because I believed that my job was out there on the streets. You know, the heroin and the crack cocaine escalated because, like, you become powerless. Like I said, once I have one in me, I can't stop. I want more. I set off a phenomenal craving where I want more, 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 more. You know, and I could clearly see that I wasn't doing what I said I would do, you know, look after my child. I wasn't doing that. But I was off and running in the drug world. And with that, you go in and out of prison. I ended up getting pregnant again. And by then, you know, I'm bang on the gear, bang on the drugs. And I didn't even know that I had a baby in my belly until I was 5 months. Now, that seems quite impossible. How could you not know that a baby is in your belly? I didn't even know I was pregnant. I didn't even acknowledge the date that my baby was born, you know, because I was so obsessed with the drugs. My baby was born addicted to the drugs, and there's nothing that I could do about that. And it makes me think of Romans 7:15. For what I do not understand my own actions, for what I do not want to do, I do. I do the very thing that I hate, you know, and I was doing the very thing that I swore down I'd never do, that my mum did, but I was doing the very, very same thing, but yet I was powerless around that. You know, I was in a relationship with the children's dad. I had two children by that, but then I ended up leaving that relationship and slept with his best friend, simply because me and him was earning more money, so it was about money. Everything was about money. If you had money, then I found you attractive. If you ain't got money, and that was instilled in me from a child. When the punters used to come in and out of the house, we used to put my hand out and they used to give me money. So that was something that was instilled in me. So I ended up sleeping with my children's dad's best friend, and then obviously I'm in and out of prison. Came out of prison. My first two children was to live with their grandparents. I didn't go and pick them up. So I didn't pick them up I didn't see them for 11 years. I'd have the intentions to go and pick them up, but instead I picked up the heroin and crack. And that was, again, I was off and running down this drug. I ended up having another baby, I ended up having another baby. When my waters broke, any normal mother would go to the hospital, but no, I was going to the crack house to go and get drugs. So it was touch and go whether my baby would live and die by the time I got to hospital. But again, I was powerless of that. And why I'm saying this, because I don't know if there's any addicts in here or anything like that. Just to bring the understanding how powerful that drug is. And a normal person could say, well, why don't you just stop? You can't just stop. If I couldn't stop for my children, I'm not going to be able to stop for anything. And I ended up having another child, and that child was born addicted as well. But so I'm going to go into salvation now. So what happened, right? What happened? I'm in prison, and I've come out again, right? I was in and out of prison over the 20 years that I was using drugs. Every year, in, out, in, out, in, out. Prison was like my second home. And sadly, it became a place where I felt safe, so it tells you what my life was outside of prison. So I've come out of prison, gone down King's Cross to go and score some drugs, right? And I ended up seeing this man who I know to be a thief and a drug addict, but he looked really well. And I'm thinking, okay, he must have earned some good money. So I've gone over to him and said, can you bring me in? Meaning, give me some drugs or give me some money. And he looked at me and he said, Jesus. And he's got this dirty, great big smile on his face. And I'm thinking, what is his problem? Why isn't he not telling me where he's getting his money from? So my head could only make sense is that he's got to be robbing a church and he's not telling me. So I was so desperate to do something more undercover than be out on the street prostituting and thieving and that. So I thought, well, let me go along to the church that he's robbing, because I didn't believe that he was this name Jesus. I didn't know what he was talking about, you know. So I thought, let me get on whatever he's on. So I ended up going to the church that he went to. But all the time, what I didn't know, it was the Holy Spirit drawing me. I didn't understand that. I'm going by the reasoning in my own mind. So I've gone along to this church and Christian people are talking to me and I'm thinking, what's their problem? You know, I mean, I'm thinking they're trying to rob me, because if I talk to you, that means I'm going to rob you. So anybody talk to me nice, it must mean they're going to take something from me. So in my head, I'm thinking, you can't rob me. This is what was going on in my head, and I'm smiling with my mouth and stuff like that. But there was blocking my view of this man that I was trying to watch, and I was getting very irritable. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit had called me there. And it's funny, because I went outside the church to have a cigarette, to have a fag, right? And this Christian lady come up to me and she said, Christians don't smoke cigarettes. And I just, in my head, I was thinking, if only she knew I'm a heroin crack addict, thief and a prostitute, and she's worried about this fag. I didn't say anything. I just looked at her and I thought, you're mad. You're mad, you know? But I know she meant well, but you know. So anyway, one Sunday in this church, this lady said to me, do you want to change your life? Ask Jesus into your life. And I did that. I did that, left the church and was still thieving, prostituting and still doing what I was doing. But what happened was, I've gone to see my mum. My mum was smoking and crack and stuff like that. And I've gone to see my mum to get some money for some crack, right? But what happened was, now I understand that greater is he that is inside me than he that is in the world. Because what happened was, I went to see my mother and I actually forgave her. I had no plans on forgiving her. I actually forgave her and I actually said, Mum, I'm sorry for hitting you when I was a child. Because when I got to a certain age, I started to fight my mother. Even though the abuse was buried, I didn't understand why I was fighting her. You know, and I thank God that I was able to do that, because 3 weeks later my mum died, and my mum touched me that morning when I was there. And what I know is that God restored what the locusts had eaten, because my mum touched my head, and that's the closest I ever felt love from my mum. And I know that God gave me that before my mum died. And this was only because Jesus was in me. Anyway, I've left my mum's, and I don't know when it was, but I phoned up this lady and I said, it's a lie. I said, you're lying. I said, you mugged me off. You got me to put my hand up in the church, made me look stupid. It was all about me, right? Made me look stupid. This stuff ain't working. And all she said to me, Mandy, the old has gone, you're a new creation. I didn't understand what she was saying, but the word went into my heart. Another time I was withdrawing for heroin, right, and the Holy Spirit brought that word to the forefront of my mind, and I spoke it into the circumstance. Now, I don't remember things, so the Holy Spirit brought that, and I spoke it into the circumstance, and I got such a rush went through my body that then I got addicted to Jesus. Do you know what I mean? Because this is the high that I got. We say there's no high like the most high. And I was addicted to drugs. I was looking for that buzz. Now I'm buzzing for Jesus. Who is this man? I've got to get to know who this person is. What is he? Where is this coming from? I didn't have to pay for this. So I started to run him down, and I eventually went into a Christian rehab home. And it's in this rehab home I started to understand that I didn't even know what my feelings and emotions were, because certain people would walk into the room and I'd feel angry, and I didn't know. I'd buried anger because I was afraid of anger, because when I got angry as a child, I would hit you, you know, so I buried that. But the Holy Spirit started to show me anger. He started to show me jealousy through another girl who had their mother and father, and I didn't have mine together when I was growing up. So I was jealous of this lady. So the Holy Spirit started to show me, and he showed me through when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, not my will, but your will be done. So what I used to do, I used to say, not my jealousy, but your love. And I'd feel the transaction. I'd feel him taking the jealousy and pouring in his love. And I was starting to buzz off it, because every time he poured it in, it was like having a hit of heroin. So I started to want to know about these feelings. Whenever I was angry around another girl, I'd say, not my anger, but your love. And I was getting addicted. I was getting addicted to the outpouring of his spirit within me. So in this home, right, I started to pray for my children that I abandoned. I had two children that I hadn't seen for 11 years, and another two children that I'd put into care before I went into the rehab. You know, and he taught me how to pray for my children through the armor of God. Right? So I dressed my children with the armor of God. I'd put the helmet of salvation on my little boys that I didn't bring up, and I'd be crying the mother that didn't put hats on her children when they was growing up. But the Holy Spirit would say to me, Mandy, this is what you can do now. So I'd continue to pray. I'd put the breastplate of righteousness on my little boys that I'd abandoned for 11 years. And I'd be crying. I didn't put coats on my children. And the Holy Spirit would be saying to me, but Mandy, this is what you can do now. And I dressed my children in the armor of God. And later on, God restored my children back to me, and both of my children, all my children got saved, you know. And this is the power of prayer, you know. And this is me praying, but I know there's lots more people that I don't even know that are praying, because I acknowledge that when we speak in tongues, ultimately we don't know, but I know that the Holy Spirit is interceding on the behalf of someone or yourself. So I know there's lots of people praying into my needs and your needs. In this home, right, I was passing Holloway Prison on the bus, and this is a, you know, and I wanted to help people, and the Holy Spirit pressed it upon me that I'll be going back into this prison to work. And I've got a long criminal record, nothing, all thefts, but I've got a long criminal record, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get back in there? Anyway, the Holy Spirit opened the door for me to go back into the same prison that I was in and out, in and out, in and out of. And this same prison, right, I ended up getting a job in there, and this same prison nominated me for an award, right, and I ended up going to Buckingham Palace with my son, right? So I'm in Buckingham Palace with my son, and they're saying to my son, are you proud of your mum coming to Buckingham Palace? And I was so proud of my son. He goes, no, not really. He said, I'm proud of my mum every day for the work that she's doing. And I was so grateful that my son had that quality of not looking at Buckingham Palace and thinking, yeah, I've arrived, but looked at the value of life and in what I'm doing, because there's nothing more. I want to make sure that my boys are all right. And my boys are okay because they see the way I live. And that's not giving me a big, that's not putting me up there. No, I live by being down here, by being able to be humble and know that I need Jesus, you know. And the longer I'm saved, the longer I'm in recovery, the more I know I need Jesus. Because the more I see I'm not right, but I'm right in Christ, if that makes sense. You know, because I have this head that has this sick, stinking thinking, right? And what I'm going to go on now, whilst being saved, what's happened to me? Okay, whilst being saved, what's happened to me, right? I've been saved 17 years. I went and got in a relationship with some guy, right? I didn't fancy him or nothing like that, but I ended up sleeping with this guy, right? And when this guy was on top of me, right, bam, he became one of my abusers. Now, I never even knew that I was abused by this man. He became one of my abusers, and it was like, oh my gosh. And what God showed me, I've got into this relationship with this man because I was still attractive to my abuser. And how distorted is that? I was still attracted to the people, the men, because there was three men, my mum and my dad. Right? And the Holy Spirit has showed me all this, right? So I had to come out of this relationship because I'm not a little girl no more. I would have hurt this man who was a really good, kind, loving person. But in my head, it was distorted. You're my abuser. So it was so twisted. So I came out of that relationship and not in a relationship again, unless God brings that person to me. But I need to just share a couple of things. I know I'm coming down to time, right? I woke up one morning, right, and I was shaking and I was trembling. What I've learned, right, because I've had therapy now, and I had to accept that my mum and my dad were paedophiles, right? I had to accept that, and that was massive, because now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, my mum and dad were paedophiles. That means I could become a paedophile. This is what I had in my head, and it plagued my head for such a long time. And I couldn't tell people what I was afraid of. But what I've learned is that my greatest fear was not becoming a heroin or crack addict like my mom or an alcoholic. My greatest fear was becoming the paedophile that my mom was. My mom was a child prostitute, so it's gone back generations. So one morning I woke up and I'm shaking, right? I'm shaking, and I thought, oh my gosh, I thought I'd abused a child in my. And as I'm sat at the edge of my bed, I'm holding on like that. Then I'm holding on to my nightdress as a child. So I hadn't abused a child. I was a child that had been abused. And I'm holding my nightdress. I could see the colour of it. And that was my mum abusing me, right? My mum abusing me, my mum was coming down on me. And what happened was, and this is heavy stuff, but what it did, it brought understanding to me, because as a Christian, right, and I never did this when I was out there taking heroin crack, I got started watching pornography, and I started watching pornography of women. And I used to think, I'm not a lesbian, why am I watching this stuff? Right, but through God showing me what had happened to me, I got the understanding of the familiarity that my old self was used to, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's why. So since God has given me the understanding of my behaviours and self, it says you shall know the truth, and the truth will set me free. The Holy Spirit shows me stuff, and He shows me stuff and that's going on in my life and why I behave the way I behave, so that I can learn to walk free from it. And this is what He's done for me. I need to say this. When I was in the home, right, when I was in this rehab home, I couldn't pray to God, right? I couldn't pray to God. Because every time I tried to pray to God, right, I'd see a giant penis, right? I could pray to Jesus, because Jesus was spat upon, rejected and despised. Right, but I couldn't pray to God, right? And I think, oh my gosh, I can't tell these people what's going on because they're Christians, you know what I mean? What they're going to think of me. But what it was, the Holy Spirit showed me that all the gods in my life had hurt me. They'd abused me. But it's through Jesus, Jesus got me to know God as a loving Father. You know, and so today, my relationship is so much different to how my twisted head was thinking who God was. I was in fear of God. And when I got saved as well, I was in fear of coming to church. You know, I used to be outside the church praying, God, I don't want to go in there. You're going to have to help me to want to go in there. Because whenever I used to come into a church, my battles, I felt like I was coming into a war zone, you know. There was times when I'd try and tell people what was going on with me and they'd throw a scripture at me. And I'm thinking, why are they shutting me up with a scripture? Why can't I be free to talk? You know, and I used to be afraid, am I saying the wrong things? How are the people looking at me? You know, but over time, but then I got the understanding that the enemy, let's call it the devil, didn't want me to be in church. He wanted to keep me outside of church so that I'd be isolated on my own and not getting the spirituality that you get in the family of God. I'm at the end now, so I'm rushing a little bit now, but I need to just share one thing, and I haven't given you the scripture, but it's in Ezekiel 16. I can remember walking down the road, right, and I see a big umbilical cord, right? This is crazy, not on drugs. It talks about your umbilical cord was not cut, right? And then God passes over, and then I attune it. That's when your umbilical cord get cut. But anyway, I actually see my umbilical cord going up to the clouds, right? Not on drugs, right? I actually see that, and I actually heard a voice say to me, you are not a mistake. I gave birth to you. I will nurture you. I will feed you. Because the whole of my life, I believed I was a mistake. And that's growing right from a child with this colour of my skin. You're the wrong colour. You're this. Going to prison, doing the wrong things, being bad in school. You're a bad girl. I believed that I was a mistake. But God was clearly saying to me, you're not a mistake. I gave birth to you. You know, I will nourish. I will feed you. And it was like, wow, if God is for me, what can be against me? And I believe that. And I believe that where I used to be on the street and I used to kick open doors to go and rob into houses, today I kick open doors through prayer, the power of prayer. And God showed me that, because I remember when I got saved, right, I wanted the kid's dad to be saved, and I've kicked off this door of this crack house and saying, you will get saved, because I was a bit of a bully and an intimidating person. And as I left, the Holy Spirit said, we don't do things like that. You do it in the power of prayer. We don't kick doors open physically. We do it spiritually in the power of prayer. So I do believe that prayer works. I'm just going to end it now with Isaiah 61, verse 3. And I just want to talk about the oil of gladness, you know. It says, grant... Sorry, I've... Is it up on the screen? Yeah. Yeah. And provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And this is what God is doing in all of us, in all of us. I remember this, there's a scripture that says, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says, do not be afraid, I will help you. I was so afraid to go into my past. And then I became willing. I said, Lord, you are the Lord my God who takes hold of my right hand. You can heal my yesterdays, my todays, and my tomorrows. And I know that when I go into my past, I'm going with Jesus. I've got a big brother. I'm not there on my own there. You know, today I work with women that are coming out of prison, vulnerable women, and I got given properties by some guy that's got properties. When he first gave me a property, I thought, what does he want? Is he after me? And I blanked him. I blanked the properties. Then a year later, I bumped into him again, and he said, no, Mandy, I'm happily married. I'm a successful businessman, and I've got properties. And I took these properties, and I worked with women. Women that are coming from the same dysfunctional life as me. And what I've learned, right, since I've been saved, nothing has been wasted, not a thing. Nothing. Everything that I've been through, every single thing, God is using to glorify him, because what I was then is not who I am now. And there's times I have to remember that, because sometimes I can go back into thinking what I was then is who I am now, but the devil's a liar. You know, and I have to remind myself, the old has gone, I am a new creation. What I'm going to do, I'm going to leave it there. I think I've run out of time. Yeah.